Okay, I apologize for being on Zoom. We'll see what next week will bring us, Emirat Hashem. Very, very big kitzer. I don't want to spend too much time on the parasha, but I just would like to. Baruch Hashem, over the years our shir grows, and I think as a shir we grow together as a family, and we shir in simchas. We sadly shir in sad things also, but when we have a chance to shir in a simcha, I think it's worth mentioning, Baruch Hashem, there are two simchas in our shir actively these last couple of days. So I want to acknowledge, I want to wish a mazel tov to Ronnie Adler on the upcoming chasana of his son, actually later this evening. Mr. Shem will be marrying off his son. And Ronnie, I think I even see Ronnie online. I don't know how he pulled that off. Maybe his wife doesn't know that he's not getting ready for the chasana. But in any case, a very, very special mazel tov. I happen to, the chasen was a Talmud of mine, and the Kalas family I know quite well from Queens. So I wish them a very, very special mazel tov, and they should only continue to share in simchas. As well as a special mazel tov to Zev Cohen, who just became a grandfather for the first time last week with the birth of a grandson. Must have been a schooler because we learned Rabbi Loz Demila. I wish him and his entire family a very, very special mazel tov. The baby should grow up, should have the Mila Bizmano Ibiito. He should be a source of nachas to the entire family and to all of Klal Yisrael. We're not going to spend too much time on the parasha. We had an entire parasha share this week. I just want to leave off with two ha'aris, short ha'aris, and we'll move on. I mentioned in the parasha share a kasha that I had, why didn't Yitzchak eulogize his mother? And I found Rabbeinu Bechai asked the question, why didn't Yitzchak eulogize his mother? So someone mentioned to me something that about Reb David Feinstein's atzal. That Reb David Feinstein did not eulogize his father when Reb Moshe died in 1986. And Reb David Feinstein said the reason why he didn't eulogize his father was, he said, because he doesn't have the ability. He didn't feel that he has the ability to give over a hesped to the point that it will stir the emotions and will motivate people to realize, to appreciate, to understand what exactly the loss was. He says it wasn't his kayach. He doesn't have that ability to speak, and therefore he was not maspid his father, even though one would have thought that he would have been. So I thought maybe that's the answer to the kasha, why Yitzchak wasn't maspid Sarah. Maybe Yitzchak didn't have that orator ability, that ability to speak, and therefore he was not able, he didn't feel it befitting for him to be maspid his father, his mother, so instead only Avram was maspid Sarah. One last ha'ara and we will move on. The Pasuk tells us, Vashem berech as Avram bakoil, Hashem blessed Avram with everything. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara what bakoil is. Either bakoil means a son or bakoil means a daughter. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the Sholem Eishiv of Nathanson points out, how do you know that bakoil means a daughter? For all those of you who have daughters, or many daughters, you can appreciate this. He said, because to be able to have full blessing in life, to have everything that you need, you definitely have to have a daughter. If Avraham Avinu were to be considered to have a full blessing, he would by definition need to have a daughter. Those of us who only have sons, or only one gender, so it says the Sholem Eishiv, no, full bracha means to have daughters as well. They are also a source of bracha, they're unbelievable blessings, and therefore he would not be considered Beirach Bakoil, unless he had a daughter as well. Okay, we'll leave it off. That's enough for the parasha. We will get back to the Gemara. Just an important announcement. This Tuesday night, we'll be having a special shiur talking about girls and daughters. We'll be having a special shiur about Bas Mitzvah and Halacha. Again, it's not my daughter's Bas Mitzvah just yet. It's about 2 weeks. But as we prepare to figure out how to make a Bas Mitzvah amidst Corona, so we decided that it would at least be good to discuss the topic from a Halachic standpoint. How does Halacha look at Bas Mitzvahs and Bas Mitzvah parties? That will be Mitzvah Hashem this Tuesday night. Okay. We're holding over here in a very shver sugyo. Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Esther Sarah,
Esther, and today's learning should also be as well as a Fuah Shalema for Chaim Yoshua ben Hendel B'soich Sha'ar Choyle Yisrael. Okay, we're holding over here in the middle of a very difficult sugya. I must admit, I didn't think it would be as complicated as it is. So I'm going to try to wrap it up and move on to another sugya, which I think we'll be able to sink our teeth into a little bit more. But let's just go back a little bit from last week. I understand last week I was a little rushing, and I want to slow down a little bit, focus a little bit more, and appreciate the sugya. So we left off last week. We were discussing a sugya of the Nisi'inim / the Givoinim. There was this group in Klal Yisrael that existed from the times of Moshe through the times of David HaMelech, and even in the times of Rebbe. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos that Rebbe at some point wanted to permit the Givoinim, the Nesinim, into Klal Yisrael, but the Gemara says he wasn't allowed. But there was this group, this nation, this nationality that existed from Moshe Rabbeinu's times all the way through. And the Mishnah says that if a person is Ma'anis, a girl from this tribe, from this nationality, so she has Knas. The question is, what is special about this tribe that one would think she doesn't have knas? So Rashi learns that this group, this tribe, is technically d'oraisa, regular Jewish people, because the way the story takes place is that they were at some point megayir, But the question was, which is whether or not they were able to be Megayer because they were really from the Zayin Amamim. They were really, they pulled the wool over the eyes of Yeshua, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said that they're not from the Zayin Amamim, and therefore they're allowed to join Klal Yisrael, and they were Megayer. But the question was, is their Geirus even valid because they're from the Zayin Amamim? So, this is a big machloikis Rishonim. Rashi and the Rambam, we didn't focus it on so much last week, but we'll just mention it today, as we'll see if Moshe Shtembech lays it out for us. Rashi and the Rambam both have the opinion that a Givoni, or an Asina, is only Asa Midrabana. Meaning, the Eraisa, this woman, this man, is a regular Jew. We accepted their Geiris, we accepted their entrance into Klal Yisrael, and their lack of joining Klal Yisrael was only strictly Midrabana. Now, why midrabbanan did we ask them? So the Gemara says that David was geizer on them. David made a gzeira that they can't enter Klal Yisrael. Why did David make a gzeira they can't enter Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara Yevamos explains, because they lacked compassion. They lacked the three traits that a Jewish person needs to be Jewish. They weren't compassionate. They wanted to destroy a bunch of people for a payback for what Shaul did. And therefore, they were not allowed into Klal Yisrael. But it's strictly rabbinic. And that seems to be the simple reading of Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara Yevamos seems to read like that, that what the Givoinim did wrong was rabbinic. They were not compassionate, and therefore David asked them for Dairi Dairis. That was Rashi's Shita. Now we also, just to review, we had a very big problem with this whole Gemara, because there seems to be a steer in Gemara. There seems to be a steer in two Gemaras in Yevamos to try to figure out whether or not the Nesinim are subjected to the law of Loises Chatim Bam. There's a law in the Torah, Loises Chatim Bam. One is not allowed to make marriage with the Goyim. And the Gemara in Yevamos has two different mashmois for when does that law apply. Does that law apply before these goyim try to become Jewish, after the geirus, and still I'm not allowed to marry them? Or the issur of loises chatibon is before the geirus, while they're still binochri usay? So the Gemara has a discussion of Rava, has a back and forth, a shakla v'tayi with himself, to when do we say the law of loises chatin? Do we apply the law of loises chatin while they're ba'oid giyuson, while they're still goyim, they're not Jewish, then I'm not allowed to marry them? But once they become Jewish, they're Nisga'er, then I am allowed to marry them? Or like the Maskana of Rava, then no, that even after they're Megayer, even post-Gerus, they're Jewish, I still can't marry them. We also mentioned there's Machloikis Tanoim. Which group is this including? Does this include all Goyim? Or does it only include the Zayin Amin? Because if it includes all Goyim, and you're telling me now all Goyim, even after the Megayer, I'm not allowed to marry them, so then you're not going to be allowed to marry a Ger. And we know that's obviously not the case. You're allowed to marry a Ger. So therefore, you're going to have to assume that those who hold that the Isser Loises Chatin applies after Geiris will have to hold it's limited to the Shivas Amim. It's not all of the Goyim. So if you look over here, number one, Rav Moshe Shtembach basically wraps that up for us in a very, very simple and clear message. He writes this, V'nira, D'Rashi V'chena Rambam. Both Rashi and the Rambam hold like the Havamin of the Gemara in Yevamos. That holds the word, the Isra Chasnas Hudafka be Yusig Goya. That the Isra Lav, the Lav of Loises Chatin, only applies while they're still Goyim. Ukeshin is Gaira, and once they become full fledged Jews, ain't by Isra. There is no Isra of Loises Chatin. So if there's no Isra of Loises Chatin, why am I not allowed to marry a Nesina? They had Geirus. The answer is because David made Xera on them. So therefore, says with Moshe Shtembach, and this is not a chiddush, this is just what we worked this out in last week's shir. I just wanted to make it clear one more time, because I know it was a little complicated, for myself it was complicated. So just to bring out this point, that the Gemara in Yevamos and Rava's Havamina that says that the Isser Geirus, the Isser of Loises Chatein, is only before their Megayer, and after their Megayer, they're regular Jews, and you're allowed to marry them. So why can't I marry a Nesina? The answer is because David was geizer on them. So he writes, "V'svar v'kesukis agamar b'vaydizar the isa hasan the isa loisis chatin who begi yusa vayin hetiv b'kesem mishnah shah ulechem hanesinim asurim lavi b'kahal." So why can I marry a nesina? Rak migzeres David. That only is because of David. V'ein lahakshe. Don't ask me. V'kivin the begoyel letavsi kedushin. One second. If you're telling me now that when they're goyish, when they're still a goy, that's the isa of loisis chatin, but when they're goyish, there's no marriage. Vim came in Shaykh but Isa Shalois Khatin. Valoy Kedush and Khalan Klau. Frankly, Moshe Shtembach, one second. According to the Havamina of Rava, when is there an Isra of Loises Chatein, which simply means don't marry them, that's when they're still not Jewish. Of course you can't marry when they're not Jewish. You can't marry a non-Jewish person. It's like trying to marry the wall. What's the chiddush? I need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that I'm not allowed to marry a goyish person. There's no concept of marriage vis-a-vis non-Jewish people. So Frek the Kasha, so what's the Chiddush? So he writes, no. So then you're going to have to say what the Torah means is don't try to live with them in a way of marriage. We spoke about this. Maybe the other answer is don't try to marry them or don't try to live with them in a state of marriage. Don't try to be like husband and wife. That's the Isra Torah. And he says, V'chein Mefurish B'lashon HaRambam. It's Mefurish, like this in the Rambam, because the Rambam writes, Yisrael Shabo Al Goya, or Yisrael Shenivalo L'Goy Derech Ishus. If Yisrael lives with a Goy, Derech Ishus. Doesn't mean Derech Ishus. Doesn't mean a one-time fling. It means they're living like they're husband and wife. They can't really be husband and wife because there's no concept of Tzvi Kedushin with a non-Jew. But when they're attempting to live with a goy in a confines of marriage, where they're making believe that they're married, maybe they even had a legal ceremony, that's when they're in a violation of the law. So according to the Rambam, the violation of Lois Chatin is not when they're Megayer, because when they're Megayer, you're allowed to live with them. You're allowed to marry them. It's when they're still not Jewish, and you're attempting to live with them in a married setting. You're trying to live with them like you would make believe you're married. That's when you'd be in a violation of the Isra of Lois Chatin, according to Rashi and according to the Rambam.
Rabbi, what about Pilegish then?
That would be a whole different discussion then. Again, a Pilegish presumably is Jewish. She's not going to be non-Jewish. She'll be Jewish. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem that Rabbeinu Tam had with our Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, the famous grandson of Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam had a problem with Rashi. Because again, Rabbeinu Tam had a whole list of Gemaras that he proved that show us that the Nesinim were Isser Deraisa. According to Rashi, the Isser Nesina, if a guy walks down the street and lives with a Nesina, he did not violate an Isser Deraisa. She's a Jewish girl. David made Xer on her. Fine, David made Xer. But she's a Jewish girl. The problem Rabbeinu Tam had with our Rashi was there's too many Gemaras that are mashma, not like that. There are too many Gemaras in Shas that are mashma that it's an Isser Deraisa. There's a bunch of Gemaras. He has a Gemara in Gittin. He has a Gemara by Asin Subis. And he has a Gemara in Makkis. Let's talk about that Gemara in Makkis for a second. There's a Mishnah in Makkis in the beginning of the third Perek. Elu and Aloikin. Third Perek discusses all the people that get Malkis. And the Mishnah says over there, who gets Malkis? If you live with a Nesina. Person lives with a Nesina, he gets Malkis. So says Rabbeinu Tam, if you go through that Mishnah, all the people in that Mishnah are Malkis Deraisa, not Malkis Derabanan. So says Rabbeinu Tam, how could Rashi learn that Nesina is only Nesa Derabanan if it's listed in the Mishnah? And in the Mishnah, all the people that are also listed in the Mishnah are all people that are Malkis Deraisa. So Rabbeinu Tam asks this kasha on Rashi. That's Rabbeinu Tam's kasha on Rashi. Now it's interesting, to make things more complicated, Rabbeinu Tam gives terutzim for Rashi, which we'll see a little bit, maybe in a few minutes, we'll see some of Rabbeinu Tam's terutzim for Rashi. But if anyone looked up that Mishnah in Makkis, on Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph, your eyes would pop out. Why? What does it say in Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph on Rashi? Zot Rashi, in the Sina number 2, Mina Givoinim hi, they are from the Givoinim, Umalkis Mishum Loises Chatibam. Zot Rashi, do you know why you get Malkis if you live with the Nesina? Because Nesina are from the Givoinim, and they're in a violation of Lois Eschatein. What? Rashi by us and Ksuba said that the Isser of Nesina is an Isser Rabban and David Gazer Aleim. And here in Maseches Makkis, Rashi says that the Nesina is because of Lois Eschatein. We just spent the last 2 Shiurim explaining why Rashi holds Nesina are not Lois Eschatein Bam. Like if Moshe Sternbach told us, because Rashi holds that the Isser of Lois Eschatein is only before Geirus, and they're holding post Geirus. So Frek the Achronim, how could Rashi write in Maseches Makkis, Daf Yud Gimel, that the Isser of to the Givoinim is a lav of Lois Eschatein Bam? It's mamsh against everything we've been learning for the last 2 weeks. Rashi in Ksubis, Rashi in Yavam is mefurish that the Isser of a Nesina was only be rabbinic from David HaMelech. And here in Maseches Makkis, Rashi writes, Nesina is a lav of Lois Eschatein. Mamsh a pelodik of Rashi, this Rashi in Maseches Makkis. So forgetting the Rashi in Ksubis that Rabbeinu Tam attacks, now we have a steer in Rashi. We have a Rashi in Maseches Makkis that seems to be in line with Rabbeinu Tam, which seems to be very against our Rashi. So the Aruch Lener...
You're talking about different time periods, like you said last week.
Oh,
very good.
Yes, that you're mechavin to the Aruch Lener. That's mamish the Aruch Lener's answer over here, number 3. The Aruch Lener wants to say how that's that's how he wants to answer up the Steven Rashi. Gevaldik. Says the Aruch Lener, number 3, V'oydei shloim al-pi ma-shekosev ha-ritvo kan. Says the Aruch Lener, I want to answer this based on a Yisoid we saw in the Rishonim last week, or 2 weeks ago already. We mentioned again, we seem to have a steer in Gemaras. It's not clear from 2 Gemaras in Yevamos, about 5 pages away from each other in Yevamos, what is the Isser of a Nesina? Is the Isser of a Nesina al Slois Eschatein? or the Isser Nisin is only because David Gazer Alev. It seems to be a steam in Gemara. Come out Gemara. It's two Gemaras in Yavama seem to give off different implications. One Gemara in Yavama sounds like the Isser and Nisin is because of Loises Chatin Bam, because we hold Loises Chatin is even post the Geirus. And the other Pshat is seems to be because David was Gazer. So we mentioned the Ritva, the Ramban, a whole list of Rishonim, both here in Yavamis, in other places. The Rishonim say, no, there was different time periods. Right? Number three, the Orch Lener. The Dar Rishon, the Nesinim, Ikim Shom Lois Chatin. The Ritva told us there were different time periods. The first generation of Nesinim, they were Taka Lois Chatin. Avoshav Doir is David Gerazalim, but the subsequent generations, they were only Osir Al David. That was the Ritva Zisoy, the Ramban Zisoy, many Rishonim said this Pshat. So says the Orch Lener, if Rashi were to hold like those Rishonim, so therefore he wants to suggest like this. Maybe that's the Yishuv and the Stira and Rashi. Rashi and Ksubis and Yevamis. That sounds like it's only because the Rabbanim become Makamashmi in the Shabbat Yesh Beknas. Rashi didn't want to limit the Mishnah. Rashi didn't want to limit only to the Dor Rishon. So Rashi says even subsequent generations. Subsequent generations only because of David. I will hoch the Tani Malkis. But again, in our Mishnah, the agenda wasn't the lav of Lois Chatin. The agenda was what's their halachic status. However,
Rabbi, where else do we find the Torah that there's a lav in the Torah that applies to one generation only and goes away?
Okay, very good. So we spoke about that last week. Reb David Pivarsky made this observation when we talked about these Rishonim, how exactly to understand these Rishonim, that you find such a concept that it goes from one generation, and the next generation it goes away. Now, we do find such a thing by a Mitzri. Mitzri find Dor Shlishi becomes Mutter, so Reb David Pivarsky spoke out. He said, well, maybe that's only Dafka by Mitzri, but other places not. So it's a Ha'ara, how to understand these Rishonim. So the way he wanted to learn it, he says it's Muchach from these Rishonim that's not a Psul Kahal. I mean, there are certain psulim that are you're bad to come into the community. Then there's certain people that are just, they have psulim, they have the surim to them. So Rav Pivarsky wanted to say that the Yisoyda Isser can't be psul kahol. Because if it would be psul kahol, it would go forever and ever and ever. And he said, I mitzvah doesn't go forever and ever. It's a special exeris hakasim. But David, what you're asking is a good aura about this concept of generational heterim seems to be dependent upon how they understood the Isser. So Zokta Arichlaner, very gishmak. Rashi and Malkus and Daf Yud Gimel. What was Rashi's agenda over there in Malkus? To figure out who gets Malkus. You only get Malkus if you have a lav attached to your title. So who has a lav? Oh, you gotta find Lois Chatin. Where do you have Lois Chatin by in the Sinos like Rashi? You have Lois Chatin, Dor Rishon. So therefore, Rashi backed himself into the corner for that Mishnah to explain it's Dor Rishon. But for subsequent sugyas, Rashi felt we can learn it's referring to everyone. So learns the Orch Lener.
The problem with that pshat is, why is Gemara telling us halacha that doesn't exist anymore? Why the hava? It's like asking a shar that goes on Har Sinai how many dayanim do you need? Well, why does that matter?
Well, again, right. According to this Orch Lener, we're very limiting the case of this mission in Elu and Aloikin, which is not Negei Halacha L'maisa, because today they wouldn't get. Again, you could kvetch in Rashi that when Rashi means Mishum Lois Chatin, he doesn't mean Dairaisa Lois Chatin. It means rabbinic lois eschatin. Maybe it's not lois eschatin deraisa. Avad is not lois eschatin deraisa. But could be when David was gazer aleihem, what type of isser did David give them? David gave them lois eschatin isser. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. What did David? What's that?
Marcus is Marcus. So it's Marcus Mardus, not real Marcus
deraisa. Well, okay, that's Rabbeinu Tam's kasha on Rashi, which we'll still deal with. Rabbeinu Tam's kasha on Rashi is that when you read the Mishnah in Malkus, the impression you get is that it's Malkus deraisa, because all the other people are Malkus deraisa, all the other lists in the Mishnah. But Rashi lichshel atzmoy in Malkus, you can kvetch a little bit. You can question when Rashi says it's lois eschatin. Maybe he doesn't mean mamish lois eschatin because it's lois eschatin. It's not true. Maybe he means that when David was gazer aleihem and David gave an isser, the title that ke'en deraisa that David gave them was lois eschatin. Maybe you can question, but that's Rabbeinu Tam's kash on Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam's kash on Rashi is that the pashtus of the Mishnah is that it has to be deraisa, not the rabbana. We mentioned last week the Pnei Yeshua. We went through it a little too quickly. We need to go through it again. And Seth had a very good observation on this Pnei Yeshua, and I was looking a lot, and I was not zeicher to find an answer. I think when I was looking back to my notes when I was in 12th grade, when I learned this perek in yeshiva under my Rebbe, Bianco Bergman, a well-noted Talmud Chacham and a Rav in the Queens neighborhood. I think he might have asked this Kasha, but I don't trust my notes from so many years ago. But it might, the Kasha that Seth asked, I'll mention when we go through the Pnei Yeshua again, it might come up again in the next Sugya of Kusim. So let's, we'll hold up. But the Pnei Yeshua is also trying to be Miyashiv. Toisvus' Kasha and Rashi. Again, Toisvus' Kasha and Rashi is, we have a Mishnah in Makis. The Mishnah in Makis says that one of the people who get Malkus is an Asina. The assumption of that Mishnah would be that that's Malkus Deraisa. According to Rashi, an Asina is only also because of David, it's not Malkus Deraisa. Why is it in that Mishnah? So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam is forced to say, it must be, you see from over here, that it's Taka Malkus Nesina is also Deraisa. So the Pnei Yeshua comes to Mimi Yashim and he wants to say like this. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that he quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says over there that filu begeyuson lo yishaych lav de loisus chatin el kishabola derechishes. Says the Bnei Yeshua, in order to violate loisus chatin, you have to try to make a marriage. Loisus chatin is from loshad of chitun from chasana. It's when you try to attempt to make a marriage. However, if you just go over to the girl and you live with her, a one-time experience with no marriage involved, no attempt in marriage, no living like a married couple, that's not loisus chatin. That's not that issue. So says the Bnei Yeshua like this. So he wants to tie it like this. When do we say there's loisus chatin? That's only when it's derech ishus. Masha enkin, third line in. Masha enkin kish yobo alea derech znos. If it's just going to be a maises nos pa'amo, loishaych lav the loisus chatin. That's not loisus chatin. Okay, so the chiluk is in what you're trying to do. We saw this in the Rambam. The Rambam Moshe Shteinberg quoted the Rambam. The Rambam is mashma that the issur of loisus chatin is limited to marriage related issur. A one time bia is not loisus chatin. Fine. So the imkain, so he wants to say like this. Now everything is geshmak. So why? The imkain mashma the koshkin de begerus and shaykh lechapakach. So now after gerus, we'll make the same chiluk. V'hash to asi shapetuva. The hanach, the Sanhedrin, the makis, those gemaras in Sanhedrin and makis. Let's say there's a lav da iraisa for an asina. Shabbat mishum lav loisus chatin. Kishbal derechishes. Those are all talking about where you try to live with her in a married setting, right? When it says in the Mishnah elyon aloyki for an asina, what does it mean? What do you do with the asina? You didn't just stam as a boiler in the street. You wanted to marry her. You attempted marriage. So you attempted to live with her in a marriage setting. Then you get the lav of loisus chatin. Masha enki masis in the hocha de elyon arish deishem knas. But what's going on in our Mishnah? What are you trying to do with this girl? Right, you're ma'anis her. You're not trying to marry her. You're trying to have a one-time experience with her. Zok de Pnei Yeshua, then it's not in the context or the confines of marriage. It's not derech ishes, it's derech znos. Oh, derech znos is no loisus chatin derech znos. Therefore, mishamach eloi motzi Rashi lefash mishum lav de loisus chatin. Rashi couldn't say that that would be a violation of loisus chatin because it wouldn't be. A one-time ma'isa ma'anis to rape a one-time nesina girl would not be loisus chatin. So therefore Rashi had to scramble to figure out, so why else would there be, what other issa could you have possibly violated by living with this girl? And that Rashi says, no, you violated David, because David made gzeira that you're not allowed to live with Nesina. So therefore he says, in David's gzeira, it doesn't make a difference what you're trying to do. In David's banner of asering Nesina, it's whether you're trying to do a marriage or you're trying to have a beer with her. Mashenkin, the law of loisus chatin, that violation of loisus chatin is only violated derech ishus. And therefore, since our Mishnah is not in the context of a marriage setting, it can't be loisus chatin. So therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's the answer. This would also answer, the Pnei Yeshua himself says this, the stira and the two Rashis. Because Rashi over there, Maseches Makis, is talking about loisus chatin, because loisus chatin over there is derech ishus. You're trying to accomplish some form of a marriage or a marriage setting, as opposed to an armish, where you're just trying to have a one-time act of znos. A one-time act of znos can't be loisus chatin. That's the Pnei Yeshua's text. Now, what Seth didn't like about the Pnei Yeshua was that that wasn't the point of Rashi. The point of Rashi wasn't what did you violate in the one-time act that you lived with this woman. The point is, why can't you stay married to this woman? The chiddush in our mission is that all these women are of questionable relationships, meaning going forward. Can I stay married to her? Is she considered an isha harui lekaima? So the question is not based on what I did one time with her. The question is, going forward, can I stay married to her or can't I stay married to her? So we might deal with this Pnei Yeshua when we get to the next sugi, which I would like to get to today as well, the sugi of Kusim. So we'll just hold off with that for the moment. Rabbeinu Tam wants to answer for this Rashi. Again, what's the kasha? Rashi says in Maseches Makis, the Mishnah says in Maseches Makis that an Asina gets Malkus. If a Jewish man lives with an Asina or vice versa, you get Malkus. The impression one would get from reading that Mishnah Maseches Makis is it's Malkus Dereis. According to Rashi, it's a Malkus Derabonis. So Toisus gave an answer. Toisus' answer was that you're right. An Asina gets Malkus Derabonis. So why was an Asina in the Mishnah? So Taisha says it was Agav Mamzeris. We put the two together. We lumped them together. There's a grouping. The grouping is Nesina and Mamzeris. They always go hand in hand. So even though you're right, Nesina is the Rabbanan and Mamzeris is the Raisa. But, you know, we put them together in the group. That was Taisha's answer. So I quoted over here from the Sefer Sukkah.
It's like Grusha and Chalutza.
Exactly like Grusha and Chalutza, but there's one problem. Grusha and Chalutza are more comparable than Nesina and Mamzeris. So if you look over here, I quoted last week a Ritva, which I don't know if everyone caught it. I said it quickly last week, and I apologize. The Ritva writes a kasha on this Taisvus. Again, what was Taisvus's answer? Taisvus's answer was, is you're right, Rashi, Nesina is only the Rabbanon. So why is Nesina in the Mishnah? It's Agav. Agav, we put Mamzer in the Mishnah, and Nesina and Mamzer go together, but in a Chanami. You have to read the Mishnah. Nesina is the Rabbanon, Mamzer the Reis. Where else do you find such a concept like this, Zok Taisvus? You find it by Grusha v'Chalutza. Grusha is only rabbinic, and still they always go together because they're always grouped together. So the Ritva, Shita Kubetz, also brings it down. Frek Shita Kubetz, and the Sukkos Dava just quotes it, so it saves me room on the paper. He writes, "I'm Shita Kubetz Shakasa Divishlam Grusha v'Chalutza Shaych Boim Did Nokat Chalutza Agav Grusha." The Grusha v'Chalutza have a Dover Echad. The Chalutza Hui is a Grusha. Frek the Ritva, it's a bad comparison. Because the Grusha and Chalutza are lumped together because there's a Shaykhis, there's a connection between a Grusha and a Chalutza. Why? Because a Chalutza is really an Isser Grusha. It's from the same Yisoid or Isser, it's a lower level, but like a Grusha. Avon Nesina have Isser Acher. What does a Nesina have to do with the Mamzeres? They don't share similar Yisoid or Isser. They're not going to. So it's very strange to say that the Tan of the Mishnah lumped two things together because Nesina and Mamzer go together. What does Nesina have to do with a Mamzer? So,
well, if you hold them as seen as an Isser call, they do go together.
Very good. So says Reb David Kviat. So what did Taisvus hold? What was Taisvus thinking? If you hold that an Isser is a psul kahal, which is again not clear in all Rishonim, but if you hold that an Isser is a psul kahal, that they're not allowed to marry into the community, so the mamzer like a mamzer. Again, they're for different reasons, but they have the same practical status. So therefore you can say the rule of Agav, they're both considered psul kahal from birth, and therefore they are similar to each other. So it could be the machloikis between Rashi, between the Ritva and Taisvis, is how do you understand the psul nesina? Is a psul nesina like a psul kahal, like a mamzer? So then it makes a lot of sense to say Agav one over the other. But if it's a fundamentally different iser, then it's hard to say that the Mishnah would pick one Agav the other. Okay, before we move on to Rabbeinu Tam, we need to mention this Meiri. Because we'll see in the next sugya also, the Meiri throws in a shchiddush lahalacha, which is in Lomdus, which is very, very, very gishmak. Gishmak and hard to understand. The Meiri over here is trying to explain the sugya of Nesina. Again, we have a couple of options of how to understand what the Nesina is. Is the Nesina also because of Lois's Chatein? Or is the Nesina also because of David's? Comes along the Meiri and he wows us. Listen to this Meir. He writes, "V'anesinim af heim bechlal chavi lavim." Zog the Meir, you should know the nesinim are included in the chavi lavim. Which lav? Lishchatim, presumably. V'heim b'nei agivoyim shenizgayru derech shikrus. They are the ones that were megayr under a false banner. V'heshi urum. But v'loy lachzikam begayim gemurim lenin chasnos. We don't consider them full-fledged geirim with regard to marrying. Elosh ein chayovim b'tayag mitzvus. But they are chayim b'tayag mitzvus. Maybe hear such a thing. Says the Meiri, the Nesinim are split. They had a geiris, so their geiris is chazi, it's worth, it's valid, so they have to keep tayag mitzvus. But it's not valid enough that you can marry them. He says, v'zesh amru b'talmud amayriv Nesinim l'choshosh l'hem amsh. Okay, but then it gets even better. He says, it's only them and their children. If the next generation of Nesinim were to go through a full geiris, then they'd be full regular geirim. Once they go full geiris, they're part of Klai Yisrael. So there's really two chidushim in this Meiri. Chidush number one is that the Nesinim, the Givonim, have a chatzi geiris. They're considered Jewish with regard to the fact that they keep tayag mitzvahs, but they're not Jewish enough that you can marry into their mishpach. But if a subsequent generation would decide that they want to do a real geiris, they'd be allowed to have a full-blown geiris and be regular Klal Yisrael.
Half
How does Meiri handle the David Gezerah?
So he goes on to explain. I don't want to get into how he's going to relearn the whole sugya of Meiri. So how do you learn David Gezerah? The Torah said that was good for David Gezerah. Midday Raisa, this is where they stand. David was good, even on top of that. That they're so considered removed from Klal Yisrael. Now, David Pavarsky in his shurim right away says that this is a pel. He says, Ach be'ikudivim me'iri tzarechi. Eich shaykh l'chal geiris. Where do you ever find a mitzvah where someone's Jewish for some things and not for some other things? What does the Meiri say? The Meiri said that the Gevinim's geiris...
That's the status of a Mamzer and Mamzeris. They're full-fledged Jew, but they can't marry yet.
But it's not because of the geiris. Here we're saying it's due to the geiris that they originally did. That's what the Meiri said.
Right, not because of the geiris.
Yeah, But
the
model of someone who's high and
entire mitzvahs they can't marry in exists.
Yes.
So who's Rabbi? Who's the Isteron? The person or the Jew to marry them?
Well, it's gonna if they're high and entire mitzvahs, so then they're bound and you're bound. The Jews can't marry them because they're usher bechasnos. But here we're saying that the geirus that the first generation of Sina did accomplished that they're mechuyev mitzvahs, but did not accomplish that they're allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. This is a geirus. Saying Seth is tiny, and you find the concept by Mamzerus. Yeah, 100%. But here we're saying a geiris was done, validating not marriage, but validating tayag mitzvahs. That's like mamash splitting it down the middle. Says the Rabbi Bavarsky, loy matzana, v'chi yesh geiris miuchedes legabi chasnus, the name of the legabi zed tzorch shuv geiris, v'chi ma'akosev dim izgari shenis have the ger gomer, and the next generation is a ger gomer, demani toysev begeiris ashniya, yoysev bebe rishayna. What's the next generation's geiris going to look like? It's going to be a frumer geiris. So what's the next? What more are you going to do? If the first generation's geiris was a good geiris, but chasnus was left out, so what's the next generation going to accomplish? Very, very difficult me'iri. Now, the truth is, we're going to have to come back to this me'iri b'neder in the next sugya, where he talks about kusim. But I just wanted to throw it out over here, where the me'iri draws this middle line about the gevoinim are a chatzi geiris and not a geiris. Again, in the footnote, and Reb Dov Pavarsky quotes this also, the footnote in the me'iri, the Magia writes, like, ze pelagodol, ze loy matzonu, you know, whenever you're looking for a geshmaka, mechudish de geshitis rishayim, the me'iri is always a good starting place. So in any case, we're holding predominantly now with two major shitas rishayim. We have Rashi.
Isn't kedushin and mitzvah also according to many rishayim?
Yeah. So we'll see who in the scene is allowed to marry. We'll see who in the scene is allowed to marry. They might not be allowed to marry other people. They'll be allowed to marry some people. And so we have to...
Rabbi, what's the chedush of the next generation? Or what do they have over the previous generation that was
Madai? Yeah, that's part of Rav Pavarsky's kashin, right? What's going to be new in the next generation?
Trying to show that it lasted a whole generation, the second generation is real.
What do you mean? They still need to do a
geiris. I understand that, but the reason why they held them back from chasanos was because they didn't know if it was real. So they mechayev them with all the mitzvahs. They didn't want us to marry them until they had a full generation to see that it was legit.
No, we know they're not legit.
The generation that was from, they said, okay.
That might be true for Kusim, which we'll get to in the next sugya. But for the Nesin and the Gevinim, we know they weren't legit. We know they lied about it. We know they weren't sincerely. They did some form of a geiris, but we know it was not kosher v'yosher, as we'd say. But maybe what you're saying, David, might be applicable when we get to the sugya of Kusim. So keep that svar in mind when we get to the next.
But that's what Meiri is not saying, that it's automatic in the next generation. They have to actually be Megayer again.
Clearly. But the first geiris did accomplish Tayag Mitzvahs. Right?
But to make them able to marry in to be a full, complete geiris like a normal geiris, they have to go through geiris again. You know, we still don't trust the original.
I'm not sure if the trusting is the issue. The issue is that their geiris was limited for whatever reason, whatever chesaron they have.
It's automatic.
It's again. I think it's an interesting me'iri. But again, the reason why I bring it up now is because it's going to come up in the next sugya, which is even more important for us. Okay, so let's get to Taisvus's pshat. What's Taisvus's pshat? Number 8. This is still in Rashi. V'oy l'pirish ha-kuntris. Taisus is still attacking Rashi. V'oy l'pirish ha-kuntris. Kivan da'avdus mamish gozer alayu. Frek Taisus is another kasha in Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam was relentless on his zayda Rashi. Mamish not giving a break. Frek Rabbeinu Tam, one sec. If Rashi's right, that David made a gzera on them, if you remember way back in the last shiur we said that Taisus learned Rashi that David was gozer on them avdus. David said that we treat the Nesinim like the Ravodim, like Evdei Kenanim. So Frek Taisus, one second. If you tell me now that David made a gzeira on them to treat them like Avodim, so Vaiter Nesu Lovi B'Kahal Meshum Lo Yekodesh. So they should be Aser as their Evet status. So Frek Taisus, we're back to square one. How could Rashi give you the impression that you're technically midaraisa allowed to marry a nesina. No, you're not, because a nesina is now also loye kaddish. Imkain, if you mamish treat a nesina like a shivcha, frek taisis amayesh la knas. So then she shouldn't get any knas. Why? Hatanam behedim masis, and there's a meforshim mishnah to shivcha ain lo knas. Which means Taisus is understanding Rashi, even though Rashi never said those words, that Taisus is understanding Rashi, that according to Rashi, we treat a Nesina, in David's world, like Mamash Shivcha. David decided to make these women to be like Shivcha Knanises, to be like non-Jewish Shivchas. So one second, for Taisus, if that's the case, then they don't get Knas anyways. Why? Because it says in the Mishnah, the Shivcha and the Knas. Maybe you'll tell me, you know why Shivcha Kananis doesn't get a Kanas? Because we know in order to get a Kanas, she has to be a Basula. And we know that most Shivcha Kananis don't watch themselves. They do things that are not proper, and therefore they lose their Basula. But this girl, she's a Nesina. She was raised in a Jewish Nesina home. She's not going to just go allow herself to be with men. Sartais is not so, because we have a Yushalmi. Because the Shivcha, even if she watches herself, she still has no knas. So, one second. According to Rashi, Lishitosoi, the Mishnah Shver. Because if Rashi's right, that David was gazer on them to treat them like a Shivcha. So, if they treat it like a Shivcha, then there's still no knas. Because the Shivcha doesn't have knas. So, how does Rashi learn our Mishnah? As they frek, Taisvis. Then he brings another Gemara. He says, it says in the fourth parak of Kiddushin, the Charuri, a freed Eved, the Nesini, Mutarim, Love is Ebezeh. A freed Eved, an Eved Kanani that gets freed, he's allowed to marry a Nesina. Frag Taisvis, why? Va'amai. Va'charuri asiri b'shivcha. But a Charuri is not allowed to marry Shivcha. When you have an Eved that gets freed, he's not allowed to marry Shivcha Kanani anymore, he's Jewish now. So Frag Taisvis, so why is he allowed to marry a Nesina? If David HaMelech gave the status of a Shivcha, a status of a Nesina like a Shivcha, so why exactly is a Charuri allowed to marry her? The Mishnah says a Charuri is allowed to marry her. So, Taisus Umiu Hoyeshloim are the lav mamish gazolim avdos la'asibuloye kodesh. Says Taisus, no, that's not what Rashi meant. Rashi never took it that far. Rashi never meant that it's such a real lav of loye kodesh. Rashi just meant that it's some iser. But lav davka azayvai to say it's going to be an iser of lo yeh kodesh. That's what Taisu says about Rashi. Now the Pnei Yeshua is bothered with a very, very basic kasha. Rabbi Natan, make up your mind. What do you want Rashi to hold? You started off saying that Rashi's mashma, that the iser of Nesina is only rabbinic. And you have all these gemaras that you bring down that show that the Nesina is also midaraisa. And then you say to second, one second Rashi, Nesina should be also midaraisa because she's a shivcha and a shivcha is lo yeh kodesh. So, frek the Pnei Yeshua, one second. Taisvis, what do you want Rashi holding? Do you want Rashi holding the Sinas deraisa, or do you want Rashi holding the Sinas derabbanan? Make up your mind. In the beginning of Taisvis, Taisvis attacks Rashi because he thought Rashi holds the Sinas only asama derabbanan. And he has all these Gemaras and Shas that show me that the Sinas and this is deraisa. And now he asks on Rashi, one second, Rashi. If it's taka true that double is goes with them, they have a Shivcha, so if they're really like a Shivcha, so then what? So then there should be usher under the ban of Lo Yeh Kodesh. So if they're under the ban of Lo Yeh Kodesh, then it should go back to being an Esed Eraisa. So then it should answer.
He has to ask Miman of Shach because of the Rashi of Los Iskati, that sounds like it's the Eraisa.
I mean that Rashi and Makis, you mean? Which, yeah. Right, meaning he's trying to work off the Rashi and Makis, maybe. So if you look at the Pnei Yeshua over in number 9, he gives an interesting answer. It's one of those Pnei Yeshuas that could I remember, I guess. He writes, Taisus is not organized properly. Taisus did not organize his thought process and Rashi properly. He starts off assuming that according to Rashi, the Sina should be awesome with the Raisa, Loye Kodesh. That's where he should have started. Then he has all those questions from Gemaris about why is there no marriage. V'amayev, you know, like knas, and why do you have knas? Because if there's a lav and there's no marriage, so then you can't have knas. Ulebos the masik, and then he comes out and miyeshlom with the lav abdus mamish gazer alayu elasud rabbanan ba'alma. Then he changes his tune and he says, no, Rashi never meant it midaraisa. He only meant it midrabbanan. And then Taisus says, oh, now that's only derabbanan. Now I have all these kashas from mishnayis. So the way that Pnei Yeshua learned it, it was like backwards. First, Taisus started off saying maybe it is an issa deraisa. Then Taisus says, nah, it can't be Nissa Deraisa. Then Taisus says, oh, now that's not a Nissa Deraisa. Now, so basically, the Taisus should have started from the backwards, then the forward. That's the way the Bnei Yeshua wants to restructure, so to say, our Taisus. Okay. Reb Kiveger has a different kasha on Taisus. What was Taisvis's kash? Taisvis said that if pshat in Rashi is that David was gazer aleihem to give them a status of a shivcha, so they should be asr as loye kodesh. They should be asr as loye kodesh, and the meila there should be no knas because there's no knas l'shivcha. Ah, for Taisvis, there's only no knas l'shivcha because a shivcha doesn't behave. She doesn't have psulim. Well, this girl does behave. Ah, but I show you Yerushalmi that says even a shivcha is mishamer. She watches herself and she's still a psula. She also has no knas. So what do you see? That there's a psul be'etzem. Shivchos are removed from the parish of knas. So for Taisvis, if Rashi held that David made them like shivchos, David made all the Nesiri girls like a shivcha, so there should be no knas. That's like for Taisvis. So Reb Kiveger points out that they're not exactly comparable. Says Reb Kiveger number 10, Yeshlema did be nesina after David Gazer Avdas Aleim, lo yikilu Aleim, but the rice Aleim, but the leitavsa ben Kedush. Frank Reb Kiveger, what are you talking about? At the end of the day, lemaisa lemaisa, you're not going to tell me that if you attempted to marry this girl, the Kedushin will be blocked because she's a Shivcha. She has Tvisa's Kedushin. Masha Enkin, a Shivcha has absolutely no Shaykhis of marriage. Maybe the reason why Shivcha has no knas because she's so removed from the parasha of Deloy Sili Isha. She's not an Isha really Kaima. She's not an Isha that you can marry. But this Nesina, Sof Kol Sof, after all this more clear, she still could possibly be marriageable. So maybe that's why she can have knas while Shivcha doesn't have knas. So Tanya Reb Kiveger, what's the Raya from Shivcha? Maybe the reason why Shivcha doesn't have knas is not because of the title Shivcha, but it's because of the lack of Isha Shaykh by Shivcha. And one of the proponents you need to have knas is you have to be shaykh to marry the woman. Shivcha is not shaykh ishus. Mashaykh, this girl is shaykh ishus. So what do you see from Reb Kiveger? Reb Kiveger
is a psul kol.
It's a psul kol, but it's only a psul derabanan. Reb Kiveger is assuming that even in Rashi's world, you didn't make it a deraisa. You didn't make it a deraisa. You didn't make it a deraisa of lo yikadesh, and therefore there's no tvisas kedushin. You only made it a derabanan dikadin. So Frank Reb Kiveger, why should it be that way? As a Frank Reb Kiveger, on Taisus. And then we come to...
Well, why can't you say the following? That even though David gave them a Darabonim status,
yeah,
that, but still, and there is Tisa's Kedushin.
Yeah.
But the Isser, but since Darabonim don't allow you to marry this woman, and you go ahead and try to marry this woman, why can't the Isser Los Ischatim Bom Doraisa kick in? Because the bottom line is, you're trying to marry a woman who has an Isser on her to marry, even though that Isser is only Darabonim, called the Mekadesh and died to the Ram Mekadesh.
Again, so, they could block the marriage. The question is, would that be...
On a Drabonon type of sex.
Again, the question is, Drabonon could stop the marriage, but the question is that a violation of the Torah? If the Torah says there's only some groups of women that you're not allowed to marry, and this group is technically okay, so how would that be Lois Eschatim Midereisa? There might be some Lomdish of Drabonon Lois Eschatim, but strictly the real Lois Eschatim, they can't be in a violation because they're technically allowed to marry them Midereisa. Now let's take a look at Tosfos' chat. Again, I apologize for the small print. That's the way it comes out in the Gemaras. V'nir l'Rabbeinu Tam. So now, so far, just to recap. We have Rashi's pshat, we have the Meiri's pshat, and now Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. V'nir l'Rabbeinu Tam. The Nesina Asura De'iraisim Shem Loises Chatein. Givaldik. Says Toises, the Sugis Poshet. You know why you're not allowed to marry a Nesina? Because of Loises Chatein. Kidemasik Rava Be'orol. Like the Gemara says in Yevamos. That what? That even after Geirus, there's still an Isser. Still an Isser. David so then who needs David? One second. Frek Taisvis, if they're also Asloises Chatein, so who needs David? David David never said anything about their marriage. David said that they have to work. Their job from David was that they are slaves. They are servants financially, not halachically, meaning with regard to their marriage availability. That is of Loises Chatein, David didn't give them. That Isra of marriage came from the Torah of Lois Eschatin. Because we hold like Rava that Lois Eschatin is even after Geirus. So therefore there's Lois Eschatin on them. Therefore there's a laugh. So who needed David? David just gave them a financial, a status in the community that they're bound to slavery.
I thought Moshe did that already.
Master the Gemara asks, I Moshe did it. So the Gemara says, Moshe was only for his generation, David made it. Moshe was only one generation, Yeshua was only Bizman HaBikdash, and David was forever and ever. That's what the Gemara in Yevamos answers to that kasha. So Frek Tais is one more kasha. Why the fact is this? The kaim the asir the lav also means he saw the asir the kaimi. The lav is chatan el kadesh la yitmu bi yisrael. So why did David do this? So they shouldn't come to mix into klai yisrael. I have heard the gazab who tefei me b'shab psuli kahal. You don't find this by other psuli kahal that we have to make them work. I mean, David wanted everyone to realize they're not one of us. So how do you make them realize? By making them the cleaning ladies and the schleppers, everyone would stay away from being mishadach with them. So Frek Taisus, why don't we do this by other psule kahal? So Taisus says, mishum dehavi umashleima. Because their whole, you know, usually a psule kahal is only going to be a few people, a mamzer, whatever, a sris, whatever. You don't have an entire nation, a nationality. Mitzvah you have, but mitzvah is only from some generations. So where do you find the mitzvahs where you have a whole group of people, a whole nationality that have a psul kahal? So we have to, you know, put a sticker on them, stay away from them. Fractisus, the Gemara says, Nivamis, Vahadikam, Arahasim, Kalmishish, Vashloshi, Samar, Malol, Roli, Davik, Behem. Famous Gemara, Nivamis, when David explains why was he guys around them, because anyone that has three simonim, Achmanim, Bashonim, Gremlin, Chasodim, that's a sign that they're Jewish, and if not, they don't have, they're not Jewish. And these Nesinim lack those three signs. What do you mean? But the question wasn't allowing them to be part of Klal Yisrael. Loi lisa mayhem Elias ben Chayim kimaisim. The question never was whether or not David was trying to figure out should I let them be part of Klal Yisrael or not. The question was should I give them a status of an avid or not. It's still difficult in the Gemara. Pashtus the Gemara was David was questioning whether or not I should allow them into Klal Yisrael. According to Rabbeinu Tam, David was not the one to decide to allow them into Klal Yisrael. They already disallowed from Lois Ischatin. David was just trying to figure out should I make a shibud on them. The Gemara says in Yevamis that in the times of Rebbe they wanted to allow the Nesinim back into Klal Yisrael. The Gemara said you can't because even if we'll allow our chelik, but what about the chelik mizbeach? What does that mean? Because they work for the Beis Hamikdash. So it's very nice. I don't want them to do my laundry and to clean my floors, but they had a job in the Beis Hamikdash. So if we're going to matter them and allow them to be part of Klal Yisrael, we're going to lose all that free hired help. So Frek Taisus, what do you mean? We're going to be mad to them. We have no right to be mad to them. They were also asked loisus chatin. No, says Taisus, lo isha, are you roitzim hatirim love bekahal? The question was never not whether we're going to actually allow them to marry the habekahal. The question was, can we exempt them from their working? The yes bnei chayrin. For amaluhu Rebbe, and that Rebbe said back, the ain yuchoil mafkia chelik mizbeach. Now we can't do. Effective of Taisus, why not? The afagav the camel and the hefker bez and hefker. Again, I am not getting into the sugya of Hefker Bez and Hefker over here, but for a taste of cash, why not? Hefker Bez and Hefker, we can do whatever we want. We can take money out of Reuven's hand and put it into Shimon's hand, maybe, that's a Shiloh, but we could definitely take things away. So says Tarish, yeah, Hainu Lutzairich, that's if we feel it's necessary, there's a need. Aval Eina Tzairich Kolkach. We didn't think it was enough of a need to put the Nesinim into Klaiso. So according to our Taishis, what comes out, according to Ben Tam, on the scene is also because of Loisis Chatein. Good old fashioned Lois Ischati. Nothing to do with David Amelos.
So according to Rabbeinu Tam, why is there a Knasen? If he can't marry her, then the Knas would fall away also.
So the question is whether or not Yisuri Lavim are still Shaykh the Knas. That's the Gemara that we'll get to Bli Neder on Chavtes on the base. We'll have to get to that. We'll get to that whole sugya. Now I just want to lend off with one shtickle from Rav Elchanan over in number 11 on the second page. Frank Rav Elchanan and Kovit Shurim, what was Taisus' Cheshvin? What did Taisus say? According to Rashi, that David made a chalois shame isser on the Nesinim, and their title was that they were considered avod, shvachis. And if they're considered shvachis, they're usser under the ban of lo yekadosh. How did David pull that off? The kasha. Very nice. Hefker bez and hefker, which means I can make them work for me. We're looking at a group of people that are Jewish. They did Geirus. And now David HaMelech comes along and says, you know what? I don't like the status quo. How can David give him a status of an Eved? What power? What right? I understand you can make them work. That's a Hefker Bezen Hefker. But how do you give them the status of a Shivcha? That's a physical status. They're not. They're Jewish. They went to a Geirus. They're not a non-Jewish woman. How could David give them a status of a Shivcha Knabas? That David made the Gzeir before they went through the Geirus. Which is very interesting. So, one second. You're telling me now that David was Geizer on them, that they have to work, and they have to have status of a Shivcha, before they went through their Geirus. That means that Hefker Bez and Hefker works even while someone's a Goy? After the Chayra Akam, ain't a mitzvah neshmah the bezin Yisrael. How can Hefker bezin Hefker work? Why does the guy have to listen to my business in court? Bishlamah Yid has to listen to Hefker bezin Hefker because he's bound by the Jewish law, Jewish courts. Why is the guy bound by it? So Rabbi Chanan says, Mamas doesn't understand how this whole Tosfos flows. How did Tosfos understand how David Ubezdino would have the power to make someone into Shivcha? Shivcha is a status. It's a legal status of a non-Jewish person who sold as a slave. This person was Megayer. They're Jewish. So I was like, no, it was before they were Megayer. So then they're Goyish. You can't do anything to them. So Rabbi Chanan has a very difficult time understanding the entire Cheshbon in Tosfos. But you have to be as Hefkes for Jewish people, not for Goyish people.
No, but the Tnai was even for Goyish people. You want to be a Jew, you want to be Medaya, okay, but you have to be, it has to be that you're a Bodim, that has to be
Hefkes. I think that you're going to have a halachic status as an Evid from that. How exactly does that work? You're not an Evid, you're a Jew, if you hold this before after Geirus.
This is the type of Geirus that
I think that's a Chiddush, that you can make a Geirus on such a Madrega that it has a status like that. Seems to be a bit of a chiddush.
You know, but he also did it up for a limited amount of time. He didn't make the future generation.
Yeah, it's the whole thing seems a bit strange. Okay, that's the end of the
suit. Well, what?
This is
only the half.
This is the half mean of how to learn Rashi, right?
But also, wasn't David not around when they converted? So you have to say it worked retroactively.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he means when he says over here that it happened. The Xer was before they. That means his generation of Gavonim, maybe, and he's going to go back to. I don't know. It's not clear to me. Okay, everybody, say we finished the sugya of Gavonim. We didn't finish it because I definitely don't feel that I have a good tefisa in it. I found it to be much harder than I anticipated. But I feel if we keep going into the sugya, I think we're going to get a little more confused. So let's move on to the next sugya. Kusim. Another very difficult sugya to talk about. Kusim. Mishnah says if a person's ma'anis a kusi, he also has a knas. Who's a kusi? Kuti, however you want to pronounce it. So Tosfos writes over here, Pirsh Bekuntres, the kasava kusim geri aroisin. There's a famous machlokes in the Gemara. What type of status do these people have? They ran away, they were afraid, and they became Jewish. So did they become Jewish because what we call kusim gerei emesein, they're legitimate Jewish people, or they gerei arayis, and they did because of the lines, they were afraid, they don't really mean to be Jewish. So it says Rashi, Tosfos quotes Rashi, Pirsh Bekuntres, the kasava kusim gerei arayis, and we hold that kusim are gerim only because of the lines, and they're not legitimate. Therefore, if they're not legitimate, v'yeshna b'lav de lois eschaten, they go back to having a lav of lois eschaten. So therefore, according to Rashi, they might be just like the Gevoinim. Right? They have the Lavlis, not according to Rashi, but according to Tosfos. V'zehu l'fishi tosoy k'desaka daitich mei karba arul. That's like the Havamino in the Gemara in Yevamos. The Begerusan, that after Gerus, is lo isachastos. That you could still have Gerus, that even after Gerus, you still have an isachastos. We'll come back to that, Belineder. U'mashe pirish t'kasavu kusim geri aroyisein. That that Rashi said that you hold kusim ageir aroyis, loy nir l'rabbein Yitzchok ben Rav Meir. The Rivam, another ain't called by Rashi, he doesn't agree. Why? The imkain oivei kechavim hu v'oivei kechavim ein leknas. Fakteis is 1 second. If you're telling me now that the kusim are ageir aroyis, so they never converted the goyim. Goyim don't have knas. There's no knas for a goyish girl. Now here's where things get lebedik. How do you know there's no knas for a goyish girl? So Tosfos, kideparach v'perek kamo. He has arrived from a gemara in the first parak of the Masechta. The gemara over there says, yavino lo knas v'ozov lo'ochle b'nachrusoy. The gemara says, the gemara is a whole shiloh over there. Can a girl that was niskayer under the age of 12, by Aldas Bezdin, when she decides 12, she says, you know what, this religion is not for me. Can she undo her geiris? So the gemara says, 1 second, if she can undo her geiris, so what's going to happen? We're going to give this girl money for knas. And then she's going to turn around and become not Jewish. So the money that she obtained for being Jewish, she's going to go spend on being not Jewish. That's what the Gemara's Raya is, how there's no knas for a guy. And what we're going to talk about Blinetta next week, which is really going to be Geshmak, is Rebbe Kivega's Kash. For Rebbe Kivega, what's the biggest Raya that there's no knas for a guy? Why do you got to bring me a Gemara in Ksubis? Well, you know what the biggest Raya is? The Mishnah and Eilon Iris. The Mishnah has a whole list of women. You know which group the Mishnah left out? Nachri. Gaya. If you want to prove to me that a guy has no knas, open up the Mishnah, Eilon Iris. So we'll see if Kivega has a gavalig teretz and a lot of geshmaka raid that will be the next week. But Tosfos is holding to his idea that there's no knas by a guy. Why? Because we're afraid if we're going to give her knas and then she becomes not Jewish, so the money that she obtained for being Jewish, she's going to spend when she's not Jewish, and that just seems wrong. Morally wrong. Fine. So Tosfos is bothered with Akasha now. If you hold kusim ageri aroyis saying, so why did she get knas? Then Tosfos has another kash. For oid, the Gemara muki masisin k'Rav Meir. The Gemara says later on that our Mishnah, Eilon Iris, is going like Rav Meir. What does Rav Meir hold? V'Rav Meir isla de geri emesein. And Rav Meir happens to hold that they are legitimate gerim. The whole Mishnah doesn't work like a Meida. Bita Amar v'Gemara. The last Gemara says, because by the din of Bita, it doesn't work out fine. Mikol Mokoyim. Behold, the Savri Yigeri Emesein Asi Kavosei. But this part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah talks about Kusim, that goes like with Meir, and the Meir holds a Geri Emes. So how could Rashi write the Geri Aroyas? The Habishor Shnagach in the fourth paragraph of the comment says the Shor Shayisrael Shnagach Shor Shakusi Vishor Yisrael Gorz Shor Shakusi Potter. Why are you Potter? Should the Konas who the Knaser of Meir ben Meir punish them, even though you should be Chayiv because they're Jewish, but Meir decided to penalize them. The Avagav the Meiradin Chayiv the Geri Emesim. Even though they're taka chayv because they're geri emes, uparach masisin the hocha the kusis yesh lekas the gemara is a kasha from our mishnah. These akedat the knas which knas from even moinam hachanami luktis alma the masnisin the hocha savi the geri emes. So zok toisus, no, I disagree with Rashi. Rashi wants to say that our mishnah holds kusim geri aroy, is saying absolutely not true. Our mishnah goes like the meir holds kusim geri emes. So if they're regular Jewish, so what's the obvious kasha? So if they're regular Jewish girls, what's the chiddush? Who's going to get knas? What's special about them? Again, we were afraid we don't want their intermingling with this group, even though they're technically Jewish. So we were afraid if we give them money, this would create some form of camaraderie. We don't want that, so that's why we don't give them the money. Fine. Now, Tosis has a gevaldik kasha on Rashi. Tosis has a kasha on Rashi. How can Rashi learn the kusim geri aroyis saying, if you see from the Gemara that we don't want to give knas to a guy? Says the Chassam Sofer number 13. He says, you misunderstand.
How would giving them cannot encourage fraternization? It's quite the opposite. Now you want to have cash, you'll encourage people being bold with them because you don't have any cannot.
I guess the fact that they feel that they get payments, so they feel like they're equal, they feel like they're like any other Jewish girl, that might give someone the impression that they are regular Jewish girls. Okay. So maybe if you don't give them cannot, you clearly see separations. So the Chassam Sofer quotes a Gevaldik over here, a Tshuvas Arash. Where the Tshuvas, a Rush in Kedushin. The Rush talks about a case where a guy is a Mummer L'Avodah Zarah. A Mummer L'Avodah Zarah, Mamish off the Derech of Avodah Zarah. So the Lach is Yerish Ovid Min HaTer. He still Yarshins his father. This guy is a Mummer L'Avodah Zarah, Mamish becomes the highest priest, and his father leaves him millions of dollars of Yerusha, he gets every done. But Zok the Rush, Kosav Mikomokun Kansin Alei Deloy Lechel Bigi Yusa. We don't give it to him. Why? Because we don't want him spending all that Jewish money as a non-Jew, as a Dr. Rush. And he says, like we see in the first parak of Ksubis, the same Gemara that Taisus quoted. So Zok Tichsam Sofer, what do you see from the Rush over there? Muchach midvarov, the Sfirli, the Gam Goy Isla Knas Medina. Zok Tichsam Sofer, we misunderstood the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis didn't say that if a girl is a Goy, she doesn't get Knas. The Gemara just said that we don't want to give her the knas because we don't want her spending the money on Avodah Zarah. Just like over here, this guy has 100% rights to the money. We don't want to give it to him because I want to spend the money on Avodah Zarah. Zakhtar Chum Seif, the Avodah Zarah can see in Le Veloyavinle. The Avodah Zarah can see in Le Veloyavinle. The point of it is not because you're not Jewish. The point is because you are Jewish and we don't want you spending your money on Avodah Zarah stuff. So Zakhtar Tais, Zakhtar Chum Seif, and Le Veim Kain, because is the Loy Oyde Avodah Zarah. The Pshat of the Gemara is not that a Goy doesn't have Knas. The Pshat of the Gemara is we don't want Goyim spending Jewish money on Avodah Zarah. So Zakhtar Chassam Sofer, this Kusi girl, maybe she's Goyish. Geri Arayis, and she's not Jewish. But she's still, at least outwardly, living a Jewish life. She's living the Jewish experience. She's not going to go be over the way to Zara. So therefore, Zakhtar Chassam Sofer, the problem the Gemara in Ksubis had was not that there's a din, Goyim can't get Knosses because they're going to spend their money as Goyim. That's not our problem. The problem is Jewish people spending Jewish money on Avodah Zarah we don't like. Therefore, Zakhtar Chassam Sofer, Kusi girls will not spend the money on Avodah Zarah. So even though technically, halachically, they're not considered Jewish because Rashi says Kusim Gerer Oyesin, but they're not Goyim. And therefore, but they're not spending their money like a Goy. The point is not a din and Goy. The point is how you spend your money. Therefore, Zok Tachsam Sofer, since they're not going to spend their money as a Goy, Rashi holds you can give them Knas. We'll just end off with this Me'iri. Again, Billy Nader, next week we'll get much, much more into this Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. But let's just see the Me'iri to mix things up one more time. Zok the Me'iri. Va'akusis. Va'afi shnuya ledas o'imer geiri aroyesein. It's also here in the Mishnah. According to the opinion that holds Kusi Geri Aroyesein, again, Geri Aroyesein means they're not Jewish. V'nisharu be'isuch haslus, and therefore they're left with an isuch haslus, they're not Jewish. Elo shemekiven shechayov b'mitzvahs. But since the kusis chayv b'mitzvahs, harehen kishar chayv lavin. They're like all other chayv lavin. Elo shekvar osom acherkach kegoyim gemurim. But they're like regular chayv lavin. But later we made them like goyim. V'yesha oilam. There are those who ask when the dat geri arayus nemra hechi avin ala knas. If the taka geri arayus, how can you give them a knas? V'ozla v'ochel begus they can eat them when they're not Jewish. I choyte niska. Okay, so he writes ve'ene shayla. Skip to the last two lines. Shemikol mokam hoyul v'yeshno b'chal mitzvus lav geyus mikri. Zoktimiri, we hold kusim geri arayus in. They have an isur chasnos. But they also have to keep the mitzvahs. So they're not goyish. They're not goyim. Again, Meiri is splitting it down the middle one more time. The Meiri is saying that even if you hold kusim geri aroyisim, that just means you're not allowed to marry them. But they're still regular, full-blown, tayag mitzvahs, observant Jews. So it's not a kasha. What do you mean? How can you give her kasha? She's a Jewish girl. So why can't they marry her? Oh no, because the geiris doesn't work. Because her geiris wasn't valid to create chasnos. But it was valid to give her tayag mitzvahs. So this is the Mamash, the Zelba Meiri that we saw earlier. The Meiri has this thing that the Geirus worked for some and not for all. So according to the Meiri, the status of a Kusi is Avad, it's Geir Eroyusin. And her Geirus did not allow her to marry into Klal Yisrael. But her Geirus did accomplish that she's Chayv B'mitzvahs, or he's Chayv B'mitzvahs. And now that they're Chayv B'mitzvahs, you're able to give them Knas money. Very, very strange Meiri. So B'linah, the next week we will deal more with the Sugya of Kusim Geir Eroyus, the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, as well as this middle ground of the Meiri, on the sugya of kusim. Okay, have a wonderful week, everyone. Be well and be safe.